And we're back. Welcome once again to another episode of Mike, Mike, and Oscar. And much like we rolled out for our preview, essentially, of Captain Marvel, with the great success that that had and the unbelievable accuracy we hit it with, we figured we would once again roll out the 100% accurate preview for Jordan Peele's Us movie. This is Mike, Mike, and Oscar. I am your co-host, Mike Wan. This is co-host also Mike.
Also Mike here. We guessed the plot of Captain Marvel perfectly.
Yes.
However, we also managed to steer clear of every single spoiler in the movie. So it was a feat unlike any movie critic or critic duo has ever achieved.
Yeah, it's really walking on the tightrope, the likes of which Robin's parents and Batman would have been envious of. They fell off it and died. So,
of course, I'm right there with you. That's your weird 2004 analogy from the Batman and Robin movie. Very good.
Well, we're still on the heels of comic book lore, right? with the Marvel, even though that's a DC reference. So let's transition, which is a word, out of that slowly, and we'll hit on Us, which is coming to theaters March 22nd, which is, when you're listening to this, about a week away, probably, if not a little less.
Yeah, Jordan Peele directing his second feature film. He wrote Keanu. He's written a bunch of other things, coming from sketch comedy with the Key and Peele show.
Mad TV before that, yep.
Like you said, Get Out was a major moment for our podcast, I think.
I think moment in general is how I would describe it. That was one of those rare, not even horror movies, but because it was a horror movie, exacerbates it even more so. But it was like one of those statement films that truly is kind of like a moment in time and going to be referenced back on, at least in my opinion, for years to come.
Plot premise for Us reads, a family's serenity turns to chaos when a group of doppelgangers begins to terrorize them. Now, Mike, we've seen these trailers.
Yeah.
We love these trailers. I think this first Us trailer is the best by far on the year. And I think it's almost on the level of last year's A Star Is Born being the best trailer of the year to me. And it has to do with the musical goods, I think.
Yes, I would agree with the musical being awesome. I also would disagree about A Star Is Born because I've seen the Us trailer a billion times. Mm-hmm. I saw A Star Is Born's trailer a billion times and I got sick of it.
Just that one trailer?
Yeah, I was tired of it by the time the movie rolled around. This one, I think it's because I don't know anything about the movie yet. I don't think the trailer has done it and given anything away, which is
and we've doing studied a good it, job. So that we can 100% accurately guess the plot.
Exactly.
And
but it's going to be tough for us, is what I'm saying, because we have no help.
Right. Bottom line, I think this is an early favorite for my trailer of the year.
Yeah.
That first one. The second one's very good, but it just doesn't have the I've got five on it goods delivered. I've conservatively listened to that song 150 times since it came out.
In all seriousness,
it was Christmas Day it came out.
Yes. It dropped on Christmas Day. I am in awe of how he turned that song into a horror score with like sharp violins.
This would have been the song that if we were living in the 2000s or early 2000s to 1990s before iTunes.
Yeah, cruising down the street.
We would be dying to know what the hell the name of that song was, right? We'd be trying to find it. We'd be scavenging the radio, going to Circuit City. Mm-hmm. Trying to find that one song.
Blasting it out of my 1996 Dodge Intrepid with the windows rolled down.
And to me, Mike, changing that song into horror movie theme music, like you just said, is the feat of strength on the entire year because it's so perfect.
It's amazing. I don't even know how that enters your mind to do that, that song would equate the score for this, but I'm glad he figured it out. It definitely adds an air of greater suspense and surprise. But you have a question about the songs playing in the trailer and whether or not it's going to be in the movie.
They make a joke about it in the trailer of the movie. We'll see if it makes the movie, but you're right. Mike, I'm wondering if the song is going to mean something to the film. Like, is this movie going to be a metaphor for drugs in a way? Because this song is very much about drugs. The family laughs it off, correct?
Mm-hmm.
They laugh off the fact, the father laughs off the fact that it's about drugs. It's not about drugs. Kids don't do drugs. This is a dope song, which is a compliment,
right?
Superlative about something, you know, that's a drug. Anyway, but the song is about, I have another reading on the song. You ready for also Mike's new reading?
Go for it.
on I've Got Five on it. So he, in the song, in the lyrics of the song, he is giving away puffs of his joint for $1 and $2 a pop.
Okay.
He's already got five on it, so he's got to make his money back.
Now, this is a deep dive you've done on your own accord.
That was another lyric that I figured out.
But very good. All right. So we got that puzzle solved.
I'm so white, nerdy, fucking Weird Al over here. Anyway, Mike, so we have the song. Does the song mean something else? Is that going to resonate thematically? Another question I have is the title. The title, Us, has two letters, U and S. Is that something that will reverberate as a metaphor for, you know, for the over, what's going on in the country?
For the royal us, us as a country, he's also, Jordan Peele's come out and commented, Dread Central had it, a couple other periodicals had it. He's made a quote that said, this is not everything is about race, is the quote that he said. Whereas Jason Blum also said, us is like Get Out on steroids. So I don't know how those two messages can equate with one another. But it doesn't seem like it's going to be the exact same thematically, at least for the content of the film.
Yeah, it seems like it's going to be something different. We just reviewed American Psycho as a horror comedy retrospective a couple weeks back. That was all about 1980s hedonism, all about capitalism running amok on Wall Street and what it turns people into, obviously, with Patrick Bateman there.
Yes.
And
it was a fun episode.
Yeah, it was a fun episode. It's a movie that weighs on you. And yet, this seems to be of that vein a little bit. I hear like the comedy plays even better than the horror at times. So the big picture just did like a brief thing on The Ringer, a brief review. I've read a couple other reviews out there. So I don't know if we're necessarily going to get the horror movie goods that we might expect from these trailers, because these trailers are scary.
I would be surprised if we don't, to be honest, because I think what people forget, Get Out was so good, so poignant. It wasn't really heavy on scares, but it was definitely a horror movie. But it was so good that like people forgot the comedy in it. So when it was entered in the Golden Globes as a comedy drama, or comedy musical, people were like, oh, Get Out's not a comedy. Well, it's very funny. Yes, it is, in fact.
Yes.
So I think people forget that. And sometimes the comedy gets overshined if he does exactly what he did in Get Out, which is make the story so engrossing and intriguing.
We're about to record after this our top five horror movie experiences ever. I don't know if we're releasing that before or after this, but bottom line is Get Out as a horror movie experience for me worked as a comedy that first time. I am laughing loud like an asshole.
But did you remember leaving the theater being like, I laughed a lot?
The second time?
Yeah.
I did not laugh at all. I was like, why? Wait a minute. That's fucked up.
Right.
That's effed up. That boom, boom, boom. And I'm like, maybe I shouldn't have laughed so loud at that, being as pasty-faced and white as I am.
Yeah.
But I just saw what he was doing. I couldn't believe, you know, the audacity of just going at these people. And
that's the treat that we're getting with Jordan Peele. We've only seen one film for him, but it was so ballsy and just unrestrained and just, this is what my vision is for this. And he made enough money, and thank God it was enough of a pop culture hit and a financial hit where I don't think he's going to be tethered or bound by anything. I mean, it's Universal has the distribution rights. They're a big company. They certainly have the money to put behind it, but also they're letting him tell his story, I would think. I don't think he's got to deal with studio interference on these things. He's already proven himself, right?
He's proven himself after that one movie. And yeah, definitely for this movie, he earned the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I agree.
And now he's, if this is as much of a hit as it looks to be, even if it's not on the level of Get Out, even if it's not the 5-time Oscar nominee.
I can't imagine when it is, but can you imagine if it does, if it beats out Get Out?
If it gets nominated for 6 to 10 Oscars or whatever, then now you're talking rare air.
Yeah. Extremely.
And Greta Gerwig could find the same.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to do something for Little Women as well, I'm sure, when the time comes.
They shocked us by both debuting their feature film debuts, just knocking out of the park, nominated for however
many Oscars. Where is the next great director?
We just shouted out The Ringer, and now we're trolling The Ringer again. We love The Ringer.
Yes, we do.
Anyway, Mike, you said you had some specs here.
Yeah, let's talk about some critic scores. Like you said, it's being critically received very well. There's one score that's kind of surprising. We'll get into that. The Metascore right now, it started out as a 79. Of course, this film had its debut at South by Southwest. If you were on film Twitter or Twitter at large, it kind of swept the night that it debuted when people got out. It's all really people could talk about. It was trending. It cetera, et cetera. So it was nothing but positive word of mouth is what I saw. Mm-hmm. 79 Metascore is very high. It's gone up since, which is a great sign, especially as it means it's being received well by critics. It's an 82 right now Metascore as of last check. The Rotten Tomatoes critic score also extremely high. It's 100% right now on 50 critic reviews.
Nice.
Usually big budget or major studio productions get like 200 plus reviews. Mm-hmm. So this is probably only the first 25% of the reviews that'll come in. We'll see that score finite itself. No audience score, and we know why. We've talked about that in our Captain Marvel lead up. The Rotten Tomatoes has kind of changed the way they display their stats, and they don't want trolls bombing the scores and whatever. It didn't work on Captain Marvel, thankfully, so it didn't really have an effect. But I don't also see the imperative of people going out of their way to hate on a Jordan Peele property anymore.
Yeah, it didn't seem like there's a lot of backlash for this movie at all. The 7.1 on IMDb, though, does give me pause.
That's the worrisome one for me. It's a little low. It was a 7.0. It's up to a 7.1. It only has 700 plus reviews, 713 at last check. So, again, your first, I don't know, 50, 100 reviews are usually people... We assume, anyway, it's people that are tied in with the movie, and it's how something like Triple Frontier has like an 8.5.
Yeah, but it's also being seen at Southwest.
It is.
So the audience at large saw it at Southwest. That makes that number kind of like fits however many people probably could have saw it over whatever showtimes it was, they got for it. So bottom line is people saw it at Southwest, and Southwest, by all accounts, we have not been, we dream to go, but by all accounts, that place loves to love movies. They go ape shit over the big budget, the big premieres that they have there, especially like a horror comedy. This should play like at Southwest better than it plays anywhere ever.
So that's even more cause for concern, right? A 7.1?
It's a slight cause for concern because maybe they didn't get it at this venue.
Right.
Some people didn't get it and they're like, WTF. Now for us, I don't mind a movie that is loved and hated. I don't mind a movie like that.
Oh, because, no, not
like,
at all.
American Psycho is a perfect example.
Well, that and 90% of the Oscars field every year is the same thing, right?
Yeah.
So it fits right. And there are positives to take from the score, too. I mean, the last 80 or so reviews on IMDb or 80 scores, whatever you want to define them as, have done enough to swing the score up. It was a 7. The last 80 reviews made it a 7.1. So maybe it's on the upswing now. Maybe it just needs more exposure. And like you said, maybe it was just a couple people in that theater that had just a wide enough viewing that were like, I don't know what's going on, but I don't want to say anything publicly because it's getting such rave reviews. So I'll just hit 6 or 5 on IMDb.
But with blockbusters too, recently, Captain Marvel, before that, Last Jedi, you've seen a lot of people go at these big blockbusters because their expectations are too high in some cases, because politics in other cases. Who knows? Bottom line is, some of those movies wind up being my favorites of
right.
the year.
Same here. And this is also why we can't have nice things as a society, because it's the double-edged sword. The more popular something gets, the more critics it's going to have. And I don't mean critics in our sense. I mean critics in the troll sense. People are going to want to bomb the scores just because they want to bomb the scores.
Then again, the critics in our sense...
Seem to love it.
University love it right
Seem
now.
Seem to love
100%.
It,
100%. Cast and crew, I just want to get you familiar with it. We've gone over this awesome group of actors before, but Lupita Nyong'o is Adelaide Wilson. She's getting Oscar buzz. As a lead actress.
Yes, she is.
Clayton Davis, we had a little back and forth with him on Twitter. We had him on an interview, of course, a couple weeks ago. But he said that 100,000% she should be considered a lead here.
Yeah, tickles my ivories. I love it.
I definitely was amazed to look back at her filmography, Mike. She has not really been a lead actress yet. Mm-mm. Can you imagine somebody that talented has been doing supporting roles for her whole career? Now she's finally in a lead role, and the movie's going to be centered on her, and she's playing two parts.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting.
And crushes it, apparently, at least from all reviews. I'm very excited. We both had her, in our 100% accurate Oscars predictions.
Yep.
We had her as the supporting actress winner, so we might have to adjust that, or at least just call ourselves right regardless.
Right, but what if she just does like a Toni Collette impersonation the whole time?
What if performance wins the lead actress and her doppelganger's performance wins the supporting actress?
Wow. What if, let's keep going.
Yeah.
What if she dedicates the award to Toni Collette as her doppelganger?
And then Toni Collette comes up to accept the award and then rips off her Toni Collette mask. It's Lupita Nyong'o's doppelganger.
And then they take off that mask and it's Meryl Streep.
Right, of course.
We're trying to work on our creative muscle flexing here as we are about to guess the plot. Anyway, Lupita Nyong'o at the centerpiece of this film. We also have Gabe Wilson, her husband in the movie, played by Winston Duke. He seems to walk and talk and dress like a giant muscled up version of Jordan Peele's real
persona.
That's
the first thing. When we reviewed the first trailer, that was the first thing I said.
That's a dope song.
He's got to be a conduit for Jordan Peele.
He spoke like Jordan Peele does.
Yeah, he does. And he's made up to look like him, too.
Yeah.
You want to get crazy? We can get crazy.
That's Jordan Peele. Exactly. I don't think that's by accident.
I don't think so either. I think this is Larry David casting George Costanza type thing going on.
And I love it too because it's Jordan Peele like getting at himself.
Yeah.
You know, it's just introspective horror comedy time, introspective satire. I mean, I can't believe what he's
doing. What if it's all just a meta joke and Winston Duke is Jordan Peele's doppelganger?
What if it's all about the one sketch that he regrets about Key and Peele? The show, and it's just everybody who comes out.
It's just like, Winston Duke playing a hotel valet with Keegan-Michael Key.
Liam Neeson's the sketch just doesn't hold up, Michael. And here's why I'm so regretful over it. Anyway, we have Shahadi Wright Joseph. She plays the daughter Zora in this film. She's got some crazy scenes.
She's also going to be in big stuff coming up, huh?
Yeah, she's in she's a voice in The Lion King. She's a couple other things that I didn't write down,
yep.
But she's getting her star on the rise. Evan Alex plays the young son of the Wilsons, Jason. He's got a tough role because when everybody's silent, he's got the line. You know, it's us. He's got the title line, and he's pulling it off.
Don't have children. I don't know how many times I need to repeat this to people.
This is just hard to do, Mike. You have a second-time director with kids.
And the kids, at least from the trailers, look like they're acting the shit out of these doppelganger roles.
Yeah, and they're in some of their first roles
in
movie history, and they're just crushing it. And of course, Mike, we have the other family that they're on vacation with being played by none other than Elizabeth Moss, Handmaid's Tale Elizabeth Moss.
Does she have her own family in this? Do we know that?
Mrs. Tyler.
She does? All right.
And Mr. Tyler is played by Tim and Eric's Tim Heidecker.
Yeah, that's not going to work out well for him, I don't think. I think that's going somewhere.
That's going somewhere for sure. Or he's the mastermind behind all the evil. I don't know which.
That would be great.
So yeah, we'll get into the rest of the cast when we get into our OSP. We'll do it quickly because we're kind of doing it here. I think we're ready to unveil our 100% accurate guessing of the plot without giving up any spoilers whatsoever. Feat of critical film appreciation. Mm-hmm. Strength.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd like to stress again. This is not something for everyone. These are gifts and burdens that Mike and I have that we are tasked with the unenviable position of knowing all these things ahead of time, and we're doing our diligence to let you know what the plot absolutely will be.
But here's this thing. I think it's for everybody, and then everybody should tell somebody else because I think that without spoiling any of the real plot,
right.
By still guessing the plot by 100% accurately, that is something that everybody should know. That's like as mainstream universal entertainment as you can find. That's like going to reach last podcast on the left levels of popularity. So I think you need to tell everybody.
I don't know the point you're making, but I'm just going to piggyback it by saying this. This is genius.
I think so. I agree. Right. I agree with you agreeing with me.
So Mike went first on our Captain Marvel series, so I will take the lead this time. I will give you the 100% accurate guessing the plot of what will be the movie Us by Jordan Peele.
Is this just a string of 90s, late 90s, early 2000s references?
You're going to see some characters we've ran into previously. Let's put it that way.
All right, good.
All right, so here we go. Guess the plot, Us. Here we go. We have Us, basically what we've seen from the trailers thus far. We got a family playing at the beach in their own home, etc. And they're routinely getting stalked by clones of themselves dressed in cult-like gowns. Again, we're sticking to what we've seen from the trailers.
Sure.
Starts as a small enough issue. This one family happens to run into doppelgangers of themselves, and like the trailer implies, they must somehow find a way to defeat their clones, as only one version can survive.
Yes.
So it's regular family versus doppelganger family. Again, pretty much what Jordan Peele and Universal have showed us. Winston Duke, Lupita Nyong'o, Elizabeth Moss, they all have to band together in this climactic, tense fight scene that all culminates in a horror movie type scuffle. So what I'm pitching here is think what happens in Ethan Hawke's house in the first movie of The Purge, uh-huh. crossed with the finale of The Last House on the Left. It's not an action scene per se, but it's a big, long, drawn-out scuffle
nice.
Where only one can prevail, right?
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, our protagonists eventually do prevail. We lose Mr. Duke along the way, R.I.P.
Oh, no.
But this is a feminist, this is a female-driven movie. That's sure, the whole point sure. of this. And this is big in Hollywood right now. This
Winston
is what we
Duke's got enough
on.
Going on. He's got a good life going
And
on.
He's Jordan Peele's conduit, so Jordan Peele doesn't want to take the glory.
You could be self-effacing
yeah, exactly.
with your satire. Very good.
Exactly. So Winston Duke has died before the final fire poker is driven into the Lupita clone's heart.
Oh, no.
She gives up a little sentence that's not yet known to the rest of our clan. She's heard saying, "It isn't just us. There are more. We're everywhere. And we've started taking over."
Hmm.
Okay. Finally, fire poker driven after that statement.
Good.
This is where Lupita, the original Lupita, would turn around and see who she thought were her neighbors, closest friends and family, all who we've met already throughout the movie, all gathered at the front door of the house,
oh, no.
watching with those same sadistic smiles and dead eyes.
Oh, no.
Real creep show type stuff. Now, the responsible thing to do at this point would be to end it here. Okay, and you'd be setting up you take this assignment seriously where you've set up us as this body snatchers type franchise that can live on in perpetuity, except instead of extraterrestrial life, we're dealing with evil clones.
Sure.
Okay. I did not do that. What I did was kept going.
You and Edgar Wright, yes.
You could do what I did and have that be the false ending, and we watch as Lupita snaps back to the moment where clone Lupita is giving her there's the more of us speech, as we realize that was all original Lupita's imagination expanding the new information she just received and making her realize she now needs to find the source of all the evil clones. So instead of killing clone Lupita, she takes clone Lupita captive, and clone Lupita has to follow real Lupita, who entices clone Lupita to give up where the big bad guy is in charge of all this, under the promise of, "I will sacrifice myself so you, clone Lupita, can live in my stead if you just tell me where the bad guy is."
And clone Lupita is a clone, so she has diminished intelligence, so she'll believe her.
Well, we can't. No.
She's a hostage.
Two people can't. You can't have two of the same. Right,
But clone Lupita is a hostage.
Yes, she has to give up the information.
She's got no choice. She has to believe her.
Exactly. So real Lupita says she will sacrifice herself for the betterment of mankind and allow clone Lupita to exist in her stead as long as she can cut off the clone source. a deal is made, and Act 2 leading into Act 3 is now it's a bit of an adventure film. As the Lupitas or Lupidae or
Lupita.
The Lupituses.
Oh, no.
I don't know how that is, but they're finding the source now.
Lupitas.
Yada, yada, yada. We end up with this giant tower straight out of the every 80s sinister plot scene ever, okay? the two Lupidae walk into the giant room. There's a chair that has its back to the Lupituses. "I know you've been looking for me. I know you need to stop me, but this is my master plan. I needed a team stronger than anyone on this planet to stop a greater evil than you can possibly understand. So I had to manifest them out of my pure energy. One meeting is all it takes, and I create a super soldier, so much more capable than any regular human, someone capable of avenging." The chair turns. We see Samuel L. Jackson himself, long black trench coat, wearing an eye patch. He stands up. The Avengers music starts slowly playing. We think we're in hidden cinematic universe crossover land. Jackson is explaining his entire plot, how pitiful the human race is, how there's a galactic evil at stake here, how he's doing all of this for the greater good. And right as he steps out from behind the desk to approach Lupita, BOOMO! Shark from Deep Blue Sea, right in his ribcage, immediately sweeps him back to the passing Sharknado that's been manifesting itself outside the whole time. It sweeps up both Lupitas and the entire building too. Movie over, credits roll, Marvel sues Jordan Peele for copyright infringement, the Sci-Fi Network tries to sue him too, but no court takes them seriously. The
so, end. If you didn't say the suing, the lawsuits,
yeah.
or whatever you call it, you said Lapidus before, so I can say a weird word now, but if you didn't say that, yeah. I would have said this was Jordan Peele being the microphone for Disney's announcement that they bought Universal.
that would work too. Yes. Sure.
But are you not reading between the lines there? Did you miss something in the tea leaves?
No, this is just Jordan Peele doing his own thing and thinking, like putting his giant balls on the table and being like, come at me, bro. Come at me, Disney.
A lot of things I love about your pitch. All of them, really. But definitely the fact that it just starts off with a 1980s tower. Mm-hmm. An evil tower.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's like perfect. The one note score to dung.
The John Carpenter score.
Exactly.
Very good. That's great. I think it's 100% accurate.
Thank you.
You're right on the money.
Or should I say you're welcome?
I think that my pitch will build upon what you've said.
Oh, good, good.
I think that somehow they will mesh and form the exactly cogent plot that will be Us the movie, and yet we will not spoil it.
Okay. So. Let's go. This is also Mike's take, 100% accurate plot guessing.
Okay, so we creep on in, which is actually the scene direction used instead of fade in by Jordan Peele.
I see.
I'm not going to try and sing it because I'm a nerd.
Creep on in.
So Jordan Peele, that's his script. That's how it starts. The Wilson family is driving out to the beach vacation. I've Got Five on It plays. We get that scene that we saw in the trailers. The daughter says it's a song about drugs. The dad says no, completely entering that white lie. But the family all loves the song. They're all grooving to it in their car.
Okay.
Lupita looks out the car window after the song is kind of finishing, and she sees a rabbit, Michael. Uh-huh. The rabbit's on the side of the road. She wonders if it's dead because it's like frozen. Mm-hmm. The rabbit won't move. It's close to the car where the car's going to pass. It's ahead of her.
All right.
The rabbit doesn't move. The rabbit has like just ice water in its veins, not budging. They pass the rabbit. The kids, oh, look at the rabbit. They all turn and face the front of the car now. What they don't see, what the audience sees, is about 100 rabbits cross the road after they leave. Okay. So that's weird. That's weird to us as an audience, and it's unnerving.
Mm-hmm.
The Wilson family meets up with the Tyler family. You have Heidecker, Elizabeth Moss there. Moss is, of course, reading The Handmaid's Tale. Heidecker is, of course, just watching YouTube. It's a show called Tim and Eric.
little self-promotion there.
Nobody gets it, but it's a lot of meta jokes woven into one, and very on-the-nose meta jokes, which is kind of meta joke in its own right by being so on-the-nose.
I see.
The little boy Jason is doing this I wear a mask phase all the time. So he's a bit of an odd duck.
He's already creepy is what you're
saying. He's already creepy. He's wearing the mask, and the other Tyler kids don't like him.
Okay.
Because he's creepy.
Right, he's the outcast.
And the sister, his older sister, Zora, doesn't help him out. Zora's like making fun of him with the Tyler kids, unfortunately. So he's basically like sent off on his own, or he's a loner on the beach instead of playing with the kids. He goes off and, of course, finds that strange homeless guy who is dripping with blood from his fingertips to the sand.
Mm-hmm.
Lupita, of course, realizes that the son is gone. She's a very attentive mom, and she goes around the beach, finds him like we saw in the movie. The homeless guy runs away before the kid, in fact, can get any closer. We follow the homeless guy.
Oh.
He goes home to a den of rabbits.
Oh, boy.
There's a lot of rabbits.
Okay.
We don't see quite the number of rabbits, but he's there with rabbits.
All right. We got a theme going here.
We got a string. All right, we got something to follow. This is how storytellers tell stories.
I'm not familiar.
The Wilsons and the Tylers have a nice rest of the day. They retire home to the beach houses. They're out there. He's got a boat, whatever. We saw all this in the trailers. They get, in the middle of the night, invasion of the doppelgangers. The doppelgangers are wearing the same clothes that the homeless guy was wearing, so we think there's a connection there. There's a fight for survival in the living room. They're not just there for show. There's a fight for survival. They're trying to kill these people now.
That's hilarious that we both actually wrote that.
The kid, yeah, they and the family gets separated.
Okay.
The parents kind of fight off most of them. Kids are running into the woods.
Both sets of kids?
The Heidecker Moss family, they're home already. This is just the Wilsons.
The doppelgangers follow the original kids into the woods?
The doppelgangers are being occupied by the real parents.
Gotcha, okay.
So the four doppelgangers are being fought off by the two good parents.
Gotcha.
Heroically,
mm-hmm.
while the kids run off into the woods.
Sure.
This is no other way to deal with the situation. Okay, so we have Zora hiding, and the parents... There's something, they do something where they knock out the you know, they release some gas.
Of course.
Not from their butts, from the other rest of the house.
Okay.
They get gas masks. I don't know. I didn't write that part.
That's fine. No, it's they're dead. They're knocked out.
I can only see so much with my prophecy.
They're knocked out. It's a gas. They knock
them out. They knock them out. They bop them on the head. And they go off into the woods. They find the Zora pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
They don't find the little boy because the little boy was snatched by the homeless guy.
No, he's back.
The homeless guy's back. He's not one of the doppelgangers.
Okay.
We now know they're separate things. So, Michael Myers style, the doppelgangers wake up and they chase the mom and dad, Gabe and Lupita, through the woods. One character name, one actress name. Through the woods with Zora.
We also would have accepted the Undertaker sitting up. Yep.
All right. So, we have them in hot pursuit.
So, we got a chase scene going on.
We have a chase scene. They find a building in the woods. This is a strange building. We've kind of seen it in the trailer.
Is it an ominous-looking tower from every 80s movie ever?
It's not.
Okay.
I didn't
All right.
go there. I don't want to take credit for that. I could be convinced that it might
we
be.
We could workshop
it. I left it open. We saw different sides of the crystal ball.
Fair enough.
Bottom line, though, Mike, is they go into this building, mm-hmm. and there's, like, science experiments everywhere. This is a hidden, like, stem cell research, kind of a secret cloning lab.
We got, like, a full-fledged lair here.
Full-fledged lair, lab of horrors. This is where the cloning happens.
So we are in where we need to be. This is the epicenter of the cloning.
This is the epicenter of the cloning. Basically, they just take a tour.
is there a guide?
There's no guide.
In 1864, on your left.
From the Monty Python. Hello! This way! No, they give them the runaround, like mm-hmm. Scooby-Doo.
Right.
I watch a lot of Scooby-Doo. Most of my plots are basically Scooby-Doo-centric. Scooby-Doo-esque.
Okay. I'm glad you could work it in.
So Lupita, they give them the runaround, and they leave where they came, back into the woods. It's completely unnecessary, but necessary.
Of course.
And right when the doppelgangers are going to connect with them and go at them, right? They're done. Right at the foot of the building, homeless guy, kid, come to the rescue.
Oh, so again, now they're a team.
They're a team. Mm. They also have, and what really does the job, the homeless guy, who's not a guy, pulls off his cloak. It is Queen Anne, Olivia Colman, from The Favorite. She sicks all the rabbits.
I see.
Upon the doppelgangers. The evil family. And they just nip at the evil family till the evil family goes back into the building. And Olivia Colman, with all these people, they get away. All right, so. No big deal. It's just whatever. Regular movie stuff.
Of course.
The doppelgangers go back to the beach house by morning, and they're visited by the Tylers. Really, first it's Elizabeth Moss, and then Heidecker will come. And they of course, get killed one by one. You got your horror movies goods happening now.
Okay.
Scary stuff. Before that happens, though, they get cloned. You know, they take the blood and they clone Elizabeth Moss. So now you have a whole other family.
So we have, like, good clones now and bad clones?
So the cloning technology is top-notch.
Elizabeth
Moss and Tyler.
I mean, she's worked centuries on this. She's a time traveler.
No, this is not Olivia Colman doing it. This is the doppelgangers basically creating more reinforcements to fight off
rabbits. Clones have enough wherewithal and intelligence to clone.
It's foreshadowed
the
script.
All right.
Because they need more to overcome
I just
Olivia Colman
sure
and the rabbits. Olivia Colman and the rabbits are a formidable force, Michael. And we don't know if they're good or bad.
Okay.
Right?
But they already chased the bad guys away.
They chased the bad guys away, but we don't know.
All right. There's an aura of mystery.
The look on Olivia Colman's face is very hard to read. As it is usually. Michael, the Wilsons and Queen Anne have an argument about what to do. And apparently Queen Anne tells them right then and there that she is an Avenger. All right. So now a couple scenes later, after we hang out with the clones.
Did you go Avengers too?
No. But she is an Avenger killing all the clones.
All right.
So that's what her job is. She uses the clone rabbits to kill the clone people. All right, so she is like a Mad Max, just living on her own, only following her own rules.
Yeah, she's a rogue agent.
Rogue agent killing clones in the woods at this haven for cloning and cloning activity.
Her and her rabbits.
Family doesn't trust her, thinks she's completely bonkers. They slip away and escape. She lets them escape. All right. So the family basically hikes through the woods until they find civilization again. Mm-hmm. And they do. They find the streets and they're like, all right.
We're free.
We're free, but we got to go to the cops. We got to get the hell out of here. Okay. Whatever comes first, whatever they can do first. Of course, the doppelgangers are looking through the city. You have the Tylers who point them out, right? And you get that big scene with the car crash and a huge ball of fire. Whatever that's going on, you got a big scene. Like you said, I think this town is mostly clone people.
Okay.
So when they finally do escape the doppelgangers on the streets, they go into a house, all right? Or not a house, a building, another building. We'll stay with buildings. They go into a building, and this is like another just haven for the cloning. It's bad break yet again. And the Tylers kind of told them to come in. These are the bad Tylers. They don't know that.
They can't tell. They can't differentiate clone from real.
Not the Tylers yet. The Tylers haven't been hard. Their hearts haven't been hardened by years of living, you know, like feral cats, like the doppelganger family of okay. Lupita Nyong'o and the Wilson. So these Tylers are presentable. They call them in to this building. And of course, it is a trap.
Naturally.
Here we find Jordan Peele, mad scientist, with his real-life wife, Chelsea Peretti. They're in charge of all this cloning.
Uh-huh.
It's very meta, but it's on the nose, which makes it more meta, like I said. All right. So the family is captured and held hostage.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Peele, in this scene, proves to the Wilsons, who are captured, that, in fact, the real Wilsons are the doppelgangers.
Oh, so we got like...
And the Wilsons that they think they are the clones.
We got like the others type thing going on.
They should be on his side, right? He's created a utopia, a better world. They all obey him, but it's a better world. So Mike, the doppelgangers are trying to reassume their natural born right, their identities.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Their existence.
Their birthright,
yeah.
Their existence. Okay, and to get the hell out of this town.
Right.
And to blow the whistle on Jordan Peele. And
they want to expose the whole operation.
Chelsea Peretti, yes. So we didn't know that the doppelgangers were good. But they still have to kill the other clone Peels.
Okay. Right?
And yes, they've accumulated cloning technology of their own, like they have in the woods,
mm-hmm.
to create a clone army in their own right. So they are basically laying siege. They're using this clone family to lay siege to Jordan Peele and the mad scientist Lair. It's a lot of things going on. A lot of reversals. A lot of heel turns.
A lot of twists.
A lot of twists. If you give me 2 hours instead of a 10-minute pitch, I'll be able to... So you have all these rogue agents. You got all these different sides because, of course, Olivia Colman and the rabbits, they lay siege to it as well. So you got basically...
We just got sieges.
You got four teams. Four teams. You don't know who to root for.
There's a McMahon in every corner.
This is Game of Thrones. This is Game of Thrones.
God damn
which
it.
Which Jordan Peele watches. So you have basically four sides fighting
God
at once.
God damn it.
Fighting at the same time. So, of course, Olivia Colman is ready to fight when she's jumps in
she and her
with her rabbits.
Yeah.
But Jordan Peele, with that damning evidence, also convinces her that these clones are really clones. The Wilson family that we came to know at the beginning of the movie are really clones, Mike. So the only thing stopping the Wilson family from being killed right now is Jordan Peele.
Right, who's trying to convince them to join him in Utopia.
Right.
Yes.
Clone Utopia.
Clone-topia.
Clone-topia. Now the boy, he's had a lot of time with the rabbits. He's had over a day. The rabbits are now loyal to him. This is what Olivia Colman doesn't realize.
The POV of this movie is a mess.
Olivia Colman doesn't realize this. And bottom line is that when Olivia Colman orders the rabbits to kill the family and joins forces with Jordan Peele and the doppelgangers for that one moment, they all can agree on the family must die. The kid won over the rabbits. He fed him a carrot or some shit. He won over the rabbits and the rabbits attack everybody.
Okay.
Everybody else.
Because of one carrot.
Because.
Split 8,000 ways.
One carrot. The save the cat moment in Act 1 that I forgot to mention. So you just gotta write your obligatory seeds, folks. So, of course, the clone family of the Wilsons, they're gone. They
right.
get out of there. They get the fuck out of there. And we get a superimposition of Olivia Colman's face being eaten by rabbits. to end the film.
Directed by Yorgos Lanthimos. Just kidding, everybody. I like... the POV needs a little work. You got a lot of character development that goes with the switching of the narrative device.
But I agree.
That's a victim of going into such detail as you did. I like... the work in of Olivia Colman. I like the work in of being a meta storyline with Jordan Peele.
I can only describe my visions to you. I can't.
Right. It's not reason. It's why. Not our responsibility to make sense of
that's
them.
That's right.
It's just our burden of having to relay what will happen. We're like Tony Stark eventually, you know, in that image.
Or more Stephen Hawking, you know, in a way. Albert Einstein. It comes to us. The knowledge comes to us, and we just have to get it out there.
They're knocked out now.
By the way, the rabbits are loyal to the boy now. They follow the boy.
That would be an awesome movie too. Why are you turning on me? Because we want to.
No, what happened there was I forgot to describe how the hell the family escaped at the end.
Yeah.
And Mike made me do it on the fly with like a 2 second break in
you
between
nailed
recording.
It. You absolutely nailed it.
So I kind of went back to the beginning. When in doubt, go back to the beginning.
Guys, that's us. In more ways than one, is that sentence true? But that is what the 100% accurate plot of the Jordan Peele upcoming movie, Us.
It might be 99%, but it's probably 100%.
It's probably closer to 100%. Yeah, it's probably close. Lord knows we were spot on with Captain Marvel. So let us know both what you think of this plot that is going to be laid out here. A lot of similarities, a lot of buildings between the two of ours, a lot of avenging, a lot of twists. And that's it.
Yeah, and I hope we don't hit on any of it. I hope the movie is totally different. That's why, you know, we do this sort of thing. We try and get this out there now so that you could just have fun with the movie.
As will be the case with all of these going forward, if there's not Sharknado in Us...
You're 2 for 2 on sharks in your Guess the Plots.
Sharknado.
Sharknado, Deep Blue Sea. Does Shark Week ever end for you? Is that like a thing?
There's more coming. We have more of these episodes coming.
You realize you have to work in a shark in the next like 4 plots. You're like M. Night Shyamalan staring at the Lady in the Water script. And he's like, shit, I really got to do something crazy now at the end, right?
You remember how McBain, the clips of the McBain series in every Simpsons episode, or you play them back to back, you get a McBain movie?
Yeah.
Stay tuned. That's
you have a cinematic universe.
I just came up with that now, so I have to retcon and see how that works, but we'll see. Guys, we want to know which of these plots obviously works best for you, and pitch us your own, and maybe we can read it on an MMO Weekly or something coming up.
We already did last week.
Absolutely, we did that with Colby Told Me So. Colby Mack there. You can reach us at our social medias at Mike and Oscar on Facebook, Mike and Oscar on Instagram, MM and Oscar on Twitter, Mike and Oscar at gmail.com, MikeMikeAndOscar.com, and on Reddit. We are available everywhere you hear podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, etc., etc. Michael, final words of wisdom for our 100% accurate predictions of guessing the plot of Us.
Movies are deceptive, right? In reality, I've had pet rabbits. You feed them carrots, they're shitting everywhere. They can't handle it.
Maybe that's how the rabbits turn on the Jordan Peele at the end then.
Oh, really?
Just poop everywhere.
Just poop. Just endosaria poop.
Just pellets that are fired out like guns.
I don't know. Maybe you guys have rabbits out there that can eat carrots. The two rabbits I've had, they just can't eat carrots.
Maybe they were just unstereotypical
rabbits.
It's
just a wave. Just a nightmare of shit.
They were just tired of being held down by the patriarchy and stereotypical rabbit food.
Maybe. That's my wisdom.
They hated Bugs Bunny. Guys, when reality sucks, come watch movies or pitch them with us, and we will check you out next time.
See ya.